Hello, everyone, and welcome to Revelation. I'm glad that you've joined me today as we study the Word of God. And I'm excited because today we're beginning a brand new teaching series called Gone. My sin, my sorrow, and my shame gone because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I hope that you brought your Bible to this study today because God is going to speak to you as we look at the topic, finding forgiveness. You know, every one of us needs forgiveness from God. Every one of us has something that we need to confess to Him. For the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the good news is found in our message today, that you can find a way back to God. You can find forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. And today, I'm going to share those simple, easy steps with you. May God bless you as you open your heart to receive His Word in Jesus' name. A young man was facing a very great temptation. He had to choose whether he would sin or not. He really wanted to sin, but he was afraid of the consequences. As he stood there trying to decide what to do, the devil came and began to tempt him even more. "Listen to me," the devil said. "I have an offer for you. I can help you. I will let you enjoy all the sin you want every day of your life. All you have to do in return is take this sack and put it on your back. Every time you sin, all you have to do is put one small stone, one small pebble in your sack. Just a little stone. That's the only consequence of your sin." "Is that all?" the young man said. "Well, there's just one more thing," the devil said. "Once you pick this sack, you can never let it go from your back. You will carry it forever, and every small stone you place inside will be with you forever. But they are small stones, and you are young and strong, so don't worry. Go and enjoy your sin." Well, the young man thought it for a long time, and then he decided, why not? After all, these stones are small, and he was young and strong. It would be nothing for him to carry this sack with the stones. And so he picked up the sack and picked up a small stone and went out to commit sin. The sin felt so good, he decided to do it again and again and again. In fact, sin became a part of his everyday life. He developed habits of sin. He got used to sin, and gradually his sack began to fill up with stones. At first, he didn't notice the sack. It wasn't heavy, and he was young and strong, but gradually it became heavier and heavier. And gradually, as he was older and older, it became more difficult for him to carry that sack. After some time, he couldn't move around again. He couldn't even commit the sins he used to before. It became difficult to sleep at night because of the heavy sack on his back. And he would cry out for deliverance, but there was no one to help him. Too late, he realized his mistake. One small sin led to an eternity of carrying a burden that became heavier and heavier. Have you ever suffered the consequence of sin? Have you ever carried a burden because of something wrong that you did? If we're honest today, every one of us would have to acknowledge that we have faced the consequence of sin. If we're honest, we would all confess that we've sinned and we carry a load of guilt around in our soul because of all the wrong we've done. The fact is, we all have a sack. We all need someone to take our sack away. We need someone to lift the burden from our back and give us a new start. We need someone to give us forgiveness. See, there are consequences for sin, friend. You cannot sin and escape without any consequence. It all starts to add up and becomes a burden too heavy to bear. Is there any way out? Is there any hope of escape? Well, the good news for all of us tonight is, yes, there is. The good news is that Jesus Christ came to lift the burden of the heavy stone off your back. He came to lift the burden of sin from off you and bring you forgiveness and deliverance from guilt. For all the power of the blood of Jesus was used in purchasing our freedom and our forgiveness. All the power of His sacrifice, all the power of His resurrection was involved in buying this freedom and deliverance for us. That's why the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, God has purchased our freedom with His blood and has forgiven all our sins. I don't know about you, but if you're like me, you're hungry for this forgiveness. You need this burden lifted from your back. But maybe you're there today wondering, how can I be forgiven? Well, I want to share that good news with you today from a very famous story in the Bible found in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 24. It's a story that we're all familiar with, the story of the prodigal son. Let's look at the scripture today and see what it teaches us about finding forgiveness. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed his pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to eat and to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.'" So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, and filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son and embraced him and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found." May God bless the reading of his word to your heart today in Jesus' name. For you see, friends, this story represents each and every one of us. All of us have sinned and left our Heavenly Father. But God, in his love and his compassion, is looking for us today. He's looking to return us to himself and bring us home again. And so these are the steps we can learn from this story on how we can find forgiveness. The first step in finding forgiveness in your life is to recognize that you need God. You've probably heard the term prodigal son before. You may have even read this parable. But what does the term prodigal actually mean? Well, in actual fact, the exact meaning of the word prodigal is this: someone who leaves a better way of life for a lesser way of life. In other words, it's like saying no to the best and yes to the less. See, the sad thing is, when the story begins, the prodigal son thinks he's choosing the best. He thinks to himself, "If I can just get all this money, I will be happy. I'll go and do whatever I like and live the life I want." But all the spending in the world cannot produce the best life that he left behind. You see, the young man had everything in his father's house. He had a father who loved him. He had all of his needs provided for. He had fellowship and family. And yet he said to himself, "Let me take my inheritance from my father. Let me break free from my father's house and go and live independently, live and do whatever I want and enjoy myself." So Jesus tells us this young man took his inheritance from his father and left his father's house. He went to drink and eat and carry women. He lived a very sinful, wasteful life. And he thought he would be happy when he did that. But instead, he lost everything. See, there's no doubt this young man enjoyed life for a time. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, that there is passing pleasure in sin. Sin feels good. You may enjoy it, but there's another truth that goes alongside it, and that is this: the pleasure of sin is only temporary. It's only for a moment, and then you have to pay the price. You have to pick the stone and carry it in a sack on your back. Friend, what do you think will make you happy today? Many people today believe that if they could have riches, then they would be happy. They want to get money by all means possible, and they will steal and lie and deceive and betray their brother just to get money. But money comes and money goes. The same way you can become rich is the way you can also become poor. For Proverbs 23 verse 5 tells us, "Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven." There was a man in the United States who was rich beyond your wildest imagination. He owned a company and he had so many luxurious mansions and vehicles. He could do whatever he wanted. In fact, the man was so rich that at one time he threw a birthday party for his wife, and the cost of the birthday party was $2 million. But today, that man sits in jail convicted of fraud, and all the riches he enjoyed have taken wings and flown away. There are others who think that alcohol will make them happy. They go and drink every night, and when they're drunk, they feel no pain. Some men live for the pleasures of sex. They meet with so many women night and day, enjoying themselves with prostitutes and mistresses and girlfriends and concubines. But listen, friends, how long can you waste your days in pleasure? Millions have already died from AIDS and other sexual diseases. And the pleasure you enjoy today is actually a poison that is going to take your life. When you walk outside of God's plan and outside of God's will, then you pay a price. For the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Some men believe that power will make them happy. If they can rule over other people and control them, they will find pleasure in that. So they will sell their soul to Satan in order to get into power, in political power or any other kind of power. They will find any means available to come to a position of power. But listen, friends, how long can you remain in power? If you take the throne through the sword, you can lose the throne through the sword. Someone else will come and take it from you. No man can have power forever. Where today is Sani Abacha of Nigeria? Where today is Samuel Doe of Liberia? Where today is Mobutu of Zaire? Where today is Idi Amin of Uganda? Where today are the racist rulers of apartheid South Africa? In fact, there is no king or ruler who has survived on the throne forever. No matter how mighty, no matter how great, no matter how feared, it always comes to an end. You may enjoy power for a season, but in the end, you will give account of your life to God. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 24 says, "A crown does not endure to all generations." This young man thought he would be happy when he had it all given to him. But in the end, he wasted it all and lost it. Even those who had gathered around him to befriend him and enjoy the sin with him walked away when he became poor. The young man became so poor, he had nothing to eat. The Bible says he had to go out with the pigs and struggle with them for food. But one day this young man came to his senses. He realized he needed to get back to his father. And that's the step you need to take today, to recognize your need for God. As this young man lay in the pit, filthy and hungry and lonely and heartbroken, he suddenly remembered his father and his father's house. He realized that even a slave in his father's house had more to enjoy than what he himself was enjoying. So he made a decision and said, "I will get up and go back to my father and beg him." The first step in finding forgiveness today is to recognize that you need God. You can't make it on your own. Your own way of life is less than God's best. Your own way of life can never get you the happiness that will last. Your own way of life may look good at first, it may feel good at first, but it always leads to death. It leads to less. It leads away from God and away from home. Home in this story represents a loving relationship with God. It represents the life that God desires for you to have. It represents the love of your Heavenly Father and everything good that He could give you in life. And when you recognize your need for God, you start to turn your heart to home. The beautiful news, friends, is this. God is like that father in the parable. He's looking for you. He's watching for you. He's waiting for you and longing for you to come home. That's why Jesus said in John 1:14, "So the Word became human and lived here on earth among us." Jesus Christ was sent by the Father here to this earth so that He could die and rise again from the dead, so that you could be saved, so that you could be restored to your Heavenly Father. That's why John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." He did that so that you could take the second step in finding forgiveness and return home to God. The first step in finding forgiveness is to recognize your need. But just agreeing that you have a need won't solve your problem. You have to then get up and go to your father. Just like the prodigal son had to get up and go back home, you need to come and return to God today. And that's a choice you make. God never forces us to make that decision. He wants you to do it. He's trying to get you to do it by speaking through me to you today. But it's your decision. When the prodigal son left home, the father knew it was a bad decision, but he let him go anyway. And when the son was off in a foreign land starving, the father knew he was there, but he didn't chase after him. The decision to return home is the son's to make, and it's your decision today to return to God. God won't force you, but just as the decision to leave home was the son's to make, so also the decision to come home is the son's to make. And as he sat in the mud with the pigs, he said, "I will go home to my father." Friends, I pray today that you will have that same conviction, that same urge and desire. For I want to tell you today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you were not created to live in sin. God never intended for you to be a prodigal. God never intended for you to be locked up in pain and in anguish. You will never find happiness outside the will of God. For your best life always is in God's will. See, sin is actually just choosing to go your own way rather than God's way. Sin is when God says, "Come here," and we say, "No, I'm going to go there." And the only solution is to come back to God and agree with Him. The only way to return home is to live with Him and to come back to Him. Oftentimes we think that's difficult. We say, "Well, I don't know how I can do it." But the good news is God wants us to return home more than we want to come. And God will do anything He can to bring you all the way back to Him. He wants to save you. And He's already done everything that He can by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. And now He's sending His Spirit and His Word to speak to you. For 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." See, you don't have to clean yourself up. The prodigal son was dirty and smelly, but he didn't take a bath first. He didn't dress up first. He came to God as he was. And so it is for you as well. You don't have to make yourself righteous first before coming home to God. In fact, you can't even clean up your life. It's only by the blood of Jesus Christ that your life can be cleansed. And the journey home is not a long one, friend. It only takes a step, for God is ready to meet you right there. At the time of his death, the Jews worshipped in the temple. And in the temple, there was a big, thick curtain that separated the outer court where they worshipped from the inner altar where the presence of God was. And the Bible tells us that Holy of Holies behind the curtain was so sacred, no one was allowed to go there except for a priest, one priest every year. But on the day that Jesus Christ died, the Bible tells us that curtain was torn in two from the top to the bottom. In Mark 15, 37 to 38, when Christ was on the cross, this is what the Bible says. "Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." The separation between God and man was removed, and God tore the curtain himself from the top to the bottom to make an access for you and I that we could come into his presence. No matter what your life is like, no matter what you've done, no matter the sins you've committed, no matter how far you've fallen, no matter how far you've wandered from God, God is still reaching out to you. He loves you. And you can find forgiveness today by recognizing your need for Him and by returning home to Him by simply praying and turning away from your sin. You see, no pit is too deep that God's love is not deeper. No mountain is too high that God's love is not higher. No night is so dark that His light is not stronger. And it's never too late to turn to God. You just have to take that step today and ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to forgive you and come to home to Him. Remember John 3:16, which we just quoted, says this: "God loved the world and gave His only Son." And then it says, "so that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. Many years ago, there was a man who was very, very wicked and did a lot of terrible things. He abused his wife and children and got involved in a life of crime, going and committing armed robbery. Well, one day he was caught and put in prison. There in prison, he suffered for many years. But one day a man came and preached to him, and this criminal gave his life to Christ. And as he gave his life to Christ, a change began to come over him. He realized all the hurt he'd caused his wife and children, and he decided to begin writing to them. And as the day for his release from prison came closer and closer, he sat down one day and wrote a letter. He said to his wife and children, "Very soon I'm going to be released from prison. I am a changed man, for Christ has made me new, and I found forgiveness in him. I want to come home and be with you and be the father and the husband you want me to be. But I don't know if you can forgive me. I don't know if you can take me back. So what I'm going to do is this. When I come out from prison, I'm going to board the STC bus to our village. And as I come around the bend in the road to the village, I'm going to look for a sign from you. If you want me to come home, tie a yellow ribbon around the mango tree at the entrance to our village. But if you don't want me to come home, if you can't forgive me, let there be no yellow ribbon on the mango tree as you enter our village." Well, the day came, and the man was released from prison, and he took his few belongings, and he got on the STC bus and left the city and traveled to his village. And as he got closer and closer, his heart was pounding, his hands were shaking. Would he find a yellow ribbon tied on the mango tree at the entrance of the village? Would he find forgiveness from his wife and children? He couldn't bear the suspense. As the bus came around the corner, he could barely force himself to look. But suddenly, as he looked out the window of the bus, he saw a yellow ribbon tied around the mango tree. But not just one yellow ribbon. He saw that the entire tree from top to bottom was covered with yellow ribbons. And then he saw all through the village, the trees and the bushes were covered with yellow ribbons. And then he knew, yes, his wife and children had forgiven him, and they were ready to take him back home again. Friend, did you know today that no matter how far you've gone from God, no matter what sins you've committed, God has tied a yellow ribbon around the road of your life. He's tied a yellow ribbon there, and he says, "Oh, come home. I want to receive you. I want to forgive you. I want you to find forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ." When Jesus died on the cross, he tied a yellow ribbon around the path of your life to signal to you that you're welcome to come home. Friend, if the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart and you want to find forgiveness, I urge you to bow your head and pray with me right now. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I ask that you forgive each and every one who's listening to this message today. Forgive them of their sins. Lift the burden from their back. Take away those things that have separated them from you, O God, and take away the burden that they've carried. Father, I ask you to remove their guilt and their shame and give them the courage to turn today and come home to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. If you've prayed with me today and you want to find forgiveness with the Lord Jesus Christ, I urge you, call us right now. People are standing by, pastors are standing by to receive your call. The numbers you can call are shown on the bottom of your screen. We want to continue to pray with you and minister to you until you find the forgiveness and the new life that Jesus Christ offers to you. I trust that you prayed today to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins and that you've made a step today to come back to God. It simply comes by opening your heart to Him. And I want you to know it's my greatest desire that you find forgiveness as you find new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here at Revelation, we're ready to help you in any way we can. We want to pray with you, to counsel you, and to guide you into the path that will help you to become the person that Christ has called you to be. That's why I'd like to invite you to come this Sunday to visit me at Agape House New Testament Church in East Lagoon. There you'll find preaching of the Word of God that will help you to live the Christian life. You'll find inspired praise and worship that will bring you into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll find a loving family that will surround you and embrace you, and together will help you to find Christ and to walk every day with Him.
can chase 1,000, but 2 will put 10,000 to flight. One seed sown in the ground can produce a mighty harvest. One life in the hands of God can change the world. Multiply. Discover hundredfold living. Sermon series begins this July 13th and 14th at Agape House. Join Pastor Whitcomb for this new series.
Thank you for joining me today on Revelation. I trust that I'll see you again next week on this day, on this station at this time for another exciting episode in our series, Gone.